Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When we look at our epistle lesson and our gospel lesson for this evening, we are reminded of just how seriously God takes His Word. God takes His Word very seriously. He is the one that has given us that Word. He has made the law. The law is good and wise, and He tells His children to live according to it. He commands it. He demands it. He expects it. Yes, He sends forth His only begotten Son to live it perfectly, knowing that the rest of us, because of Adam's fall, cannot do it. And yet, Jesus comes to fulfill that law, and He says, I have not come to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Not even the smallest marking in the letters of the law is passed away. It is not destroyed, rather it is fulfilled in Christ. Jesus is very clear. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We have whole church bodies discussing right now whether or not pastors or priests in them should be monogamous. That's an actual ongoing debate in a massive denomination in this country. What does St. Paul say? That a pastor is to be the husband of one wife. He is to be monogamous. He is to be joined in that one flesh union, or he is to be celibate. Celibacy is a spiritual gift, and I don't want to downplay the magnificence that God gives in that. But for the average man, this is not the spiritual gift. He is to be joined to one woman for the rest of his or her life. God did not send His Son to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill it. We have whole church bodies that during this month celebrate perversity, that celebrate pride in sin, in what God has clearly called sin. The world is, in fact, very evil. St. Paul writes to the Colossians, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Put these things away, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. God has commanded this of His children. A pastor's job would go easier for him temporarily if he simply turned away when he finds out that people are living together outside of marriage. It would be easier for him. He'd win more friends and influence more people that way. But the problem is that those people are not his judge. God is his judge. And if he is faithless in what God has given him, if he removes even the smallest jot and tittle so that people will like him, then great fear should come upon him. On Sunday, I read to the people 1 Corinthians 6. I will read that again tonight. I want you, as a Christian, to have 1 Corinthians 6 in the back of your mind. Because you undoubtedly, this month and throughout the year, will have people tell you that if you believe what God's Word teaches about male and female, about marriage, then you are just a bad person. And if you say, but the Bible says so, they will try to tell you, sure, but the Bible also tells you you can't eat pig meat. Are you eating bacon? I wholeheartedly believe that Leviticus is God's word, but I also wholeheartedly believe that God told Peter to rise, kill, and eat. And I believe in the efficacy of the Council of Jerusalem, which declares that these foods can be eaten. I don't need to turn to Leviticus to show that God's word clearly teaches that perversity of what God has made good is perversity. I can simply turn to the New Testament. I can look at Matthew 19, where Jesus once again reiterates what marriage is, that a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And what therefore God hath put together, let not man rend asunder. So here is, once again, 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6 in the back of your mind so that you can give a testimony to what God's word says also in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Point blank, very clear. If this is where you are wrapped up, if your identity is found not as a child of God, but in the sin that God has declared to be sin, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But if you are stuck in that sin right now, and if those words are proclaimed, if you have a family member that is stuck in that sin right now, and you proclaim to them the words here and the words that God sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die in your stead and their stead, if you point them to the better way, the way that will lead them to eternal life of joy in communion with God, then the next verse is a beautiful verse. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Our identity is baptized, washed, sanctified child of God, declared righteous not because of our sins, but by the one who is sinless. Why do I make such a big stink about this? Why do pastors tell the people of their congregation, the people that God has charged to watch over them, why are they so insistent in these matters? I firmly believe that the reason for that is Ezekiel 33. In Ezekiel 33, we hear of these words. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, he took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Pastors are watchmen over the people of God, over their communities. They are given God's word to proclaim, whether men like it or like it not. God's word is extremely clear. We are not to stay stuck in our sins. We are not to celebrate our sins. We are not to have pride in our sins, not just in the sexual perverse kind, but also in drunkenness, in extortion, in blasphemy. I am a Christian because God has made it so. I am a child of God. I am His son because God saw fit to wash me in the blood of the Lamb in my baptism. And this very night, we will gather yet again around the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. But that forgiveness of sins only comes when you approach the table with a repentant heart. For if you come forward in impenitence, then judgment instead is what was received. Your pastors love you. They care for you because God has placed them to do just that. Hear the word, receive the word, mark it, learn it, and inwardly digest His word. He has saved you. Follow Him. The church sings. The world is very evil. The times are waxing late. Be sober and keep vigil. The judge is at the gate. The judge that comes in mercy, the judge that comes with might, to terminate the evil, to diadem the right. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.